Good morning and praise the Lord. What a joy for us to gather together around the person of our Lord, around his table, and also now around his word. And I know that during these difficult times, I'm sure none of us take it for granted. We are ever grateful to God for these wonderful blessings and privileges in our life. As God's people, when we gather, we always gather around his person, gathered unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered in my name, or gathered unto my name, there am I in their midst, wherever that is. We are gathered on the first day of the week around the table of the Lord to remember him and to celebrate the ordinance which he has instituted for us. And I'm sure none of us take that lightly. Even though we are doing it in the privacy of our homes, I believe we do it reverently, in dignity, in solemnity, with great self-examination, and not as a ritual. No, it's also dangerous that, as many other denominations always blame us, that since we do this every week, there is every possibility that it can become a very unprepared and a very shallow, superstitious, ritualistic thing. Now, I myself am very much aware of that danger in my life, and almost every Saturday in our home, my wife and I, we discuss this, and whenever we talk to our children, even though they are mature and adults walking with the Lord, we tell them these things, because there is every possibility that Satan would move and anchor us in the right doctrine, but take away the right spirit and the right attitude from our hearts, and we may do it meaninglessly. So I always pray that the Lord may keep me, my children, and my family of faith. That is a very important prayer in my life, always towards the end of the week as we gather together. So I'm so glad this morning we are able to do it again, even though in a virtual way. Another encouraging thing that came to my mind is, you know, in the KJV Bible, King James Version, the book of Acts concludes with this one word: unhindered, without hindrance. And it's beautiful that in KJV, that is the last word of the book of Acts. That is 30 years of church history is written, and a good chunk of Paul's ministry also is over. And now Paul is in prison, under house arrest, lot of limitations, lot of legal formalities against him, and a hostile world around him. And he is in a rented house, teaching the word and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ within the confines of that house. But the Holy Spirit very beautifully records that the glorious history of the church, in spite of persecution, problems, and difficulties, and arrest, and hostility, the Word of God beautifully records. It's a glorious statement that unhindered. That is, God's church, God's servants, God's people, God's word, it moves unhindered. That is the last word in KJV, you know, in the book of Acts. I was thinking about that this morning. It's a lockdown for nearly 2 months, and we are in a COVID world, with unprecedented tragedies and challenges and problems. But brothers and sisters, our faith, celebration of our ordinances, our remembrance, our Bible study, our meditation, our fellowship, unhindered. That is how God has planned it. Unhindered. And what a privilege for us as ELBC family to remember that this morning and to transfer that last word from the book of Acts to my life and to your life. Because God is sovereign, He is in control. And the last word of our life, only He will write and no one else will write that. Unhindered. Unhindered worship, unhindered preaching, unhindered proclamation of the gospel. Limitations, oppositions, fear, anxiety, problems, challenges, but unhindered. That is a tremendous encouragement to me this morning and for my own ministry. And I know that it is a very blessed encouragement for you. Many of us don't use KJV because we prefer the modern translations. I know some of you are, you know, born and brought up in the KJV tradition and you know the sweetness of it. I like New American Standard is my favorite. And now I like NKJV. But sometimes, you know, some of those beautiful words in KJV comes back to my mind. And it stirs my thought, unhindered. So that is where I want to begin now on a note of encouragement. It is unhindered, our life, our ministry, our walk with the Lord, our discipleship, our worship, everything is unhindered because God is in control. COVID world, but God is in control. Many things are hindered for the world. The business is hindered. The corporations, they are paralyzed. You know, CDC is panicking. World leaders are panicking, but our golden word is unhindered. Unhindered. You know, so that should definitely give us great courage because that is the word the Holy Spirit has designed, written, ordained for us. So we will move forward unhindered in our faith. And in our walk with the Lord and in our ministries. Just one more thing, I'm just pouring out of my hearts as I was preparing this message, you know, because we are living in very difficult times. Yesterday, last night, I was sharing with my wife that as far as I know, my knowledge, my reading, my understanding goes, after Noah's flood, I don't think any time, there was no time like this in world history. You know, that is a global lockdown. During Noah's time it happened, the whole world perished. And only Noah and his family was in the lockdown. And the whole world perished. And the whole world panicked. And the whole world was, you know, helpless. It's very similar to that today. Even from 450 BC, from the plague of Athens, if you Google, you will find it, you know. Somebody asked me to give a lecture on the Bible and plagues and history and plagues. So I was, you know, doing some preparation. At least 20 major plagues are listed in the history of the world, starting from 450 BC. But one thing which I found that, you know, like the Spanish flu, the great plague of London, it was geographically more limited and restricted. Some of them affected Europe and Asia to some extent, the world, but in those days, there was no air travel, there was no commerce like this, and the world was not a global village as today. So it did not affect the world as COVID has affected us. So I'm just wondering, you know, I hope you will agree with me, and that is, after Noah's flood, we cannot think of a situation in which God in his omniscient wisdom and sovereign authority shut down the whole world. And last evening my children came and we had discussion about various things, and they were, you know, sharing various things about COVID. And jokingly I told them that the only thing, including all the scientists, CDC, all of us, the only thing we know is that this is a virus. Does anybody know anything more than that? I don't think so, because the experts are changing their opinion every day. I saw a video where one commentator compiled, you know, all the changing stories of the doctors and the scientists. They will say one thing today, another thing tomorrow. You know, no mask, mask will not help you. Now everybody is running for mask. Now, you know, this medicine may help now. Oh no, that won't help. This may not really thrive in hot weather. Next moment, no, it will thrive. Nobody knows anything. Only what I know, you know, what we know, that it is a virus. I don't think anybody knows anything more than that except God at this stage. Nobody knows anything, because it's all contradictory theories anywhere. People send a lot of, you know, forwards and things like that, and I told them, please don't, because you don't know anything about it, and I don't know anything about it. It's only a virus. That's all we know. That CDC doesn't have to tell me. I know it, you know, and I'm waiting for a time when they or somebody else will know something little more authentic about it to tell us. So that is the confusion, you know, and that is the panic. That is the stress this has created in the world. As we talk to people from other parts of the world, we know the stress, because nobody really knows anything about this. But unhindered, God is sovereign, and probably he will help our doctors to find a vaccine. We can also pray and wish for that, and we salute all those who sacrificially serve our country and humanity, all the medical professionals, everybody. We are very grateful to God and to also to them for their sacrificial service in this time of suffering. So it is in this situation that we come as children of God for some answers to the Word of God. So I'm going to draw your attention for a little time to Psalm 91. I know last month our brother George Samuel very ably gave us a good exposition of this psalm and took us through this psalm. And I was searching the internet and I was going through various websites, and you know, I also listened to at least 7 or 8 different messages by various pastors and able men of God. This is a very blessed psalm, no doubt about it. And during this season, for the last almost 2 months, this psalm has been preached more than any other text in the world. And because it brings a lot of assurance about God's protection, God's preserving power, and the safety and the security that God gives to his children. And the message of this psalm, as we studied it a few weeks ago, it replaces fear with faith, no doubt about that. That is why everybody turned to this psalm. It's such a beautiful, touching, comforting psalm, no doubt about it. But this morning, what I would like to do is to share my struggle with a question related to this psalm and the answer the Lord showed me from his word. So even though I have studied this psalm number of years ago, and even during this season, and our brother George, he shared from this psalm recently with us. So, you know, we have fairly a good understanding of this psalm. But, you know, as a frail human being, with all my frailty and weakness and anxiety and fear, one of the struggles I had in really understanding this psalm was, what is the real promise in this psalm? Does it really say that the Lord will protect me at all times from all dangers and from all fears? How does it apply to me? Have you ever thought about it? We know the promises of this psalm, and these promises are true, and we can trust. But have you ever felt this question in your mind, as I have felt? A very struggling question. You know, that question is, what is the promise of the protection of God? How does that apply to me? Does it mean that those who trust in God will be delivered from COVID everywhere, anywhere, anytime? That we will not get sick by this virus or from any other sickness and dangers? You know, because this psalm gives a kind of a blanket statement about God's protection. So how does that apply to you and to me? I struggled through that quite a bit. What is the real practical application of this psalm in this situation? We know that it is not a blanket guarantee that God will protect me or you or all of his people from sickness or danger or death in all situations. That is not the meaning of it. That is very evident. We know that because within the last month, at least probably more than nearly 10 people whom we know and love, God in his sovereign will, plan, and purpose took them away from this world through the harm and danger created by COVID-19. And we know more than 50,000 people in this country of ours alone. And many of them were believers, even though many of them we do not personally know. Many of them who studied this psalm, who preached this psalm, who believed the message of this psalm. So how does this psalm really apply to us? So I don't want to take you through all the verses because we have done that already, and all of us know about this psalm. So I want to dwell on the first part of the psalm and the last part of the psalm, and to celebrate the answers which I was able to see in the Word of God. And I'm sure that will bring a lot of courage and comfort and a lot of blessing to your life also. Now, the first four verses of this psalm, I will read that. It talks about God as the source of our security. So I'm just reinforcing what Brother George Samuel taught us a few weeks ago. You know, the first four verses, our source of security. And then from verses 5 to 13, it is the extent of our security. That extent of security includes pestilence, dangers, dangers by night and by day, plagues, death, all those things. A lot of things are mentioned. That is the chunk of the psalm. The extent, in all situations, God is able to protect us. Then the last three verses, the intimacy of the security of God. So, first I will read the first four verses, the source of security. Then I will read the intimacy of the security. So I would encourage you to closely follow that. We are not projecting it on the screen purposely, because it is good to locate that in the Bible and internalize it as we read it from our own Bibles. So Psalm 91, the source of our security. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Then 5 to 13 is the extent of all the dangers from which God will protect us. Verses 14 through 16, the intimacy of the deliverer and the one who is delivered, that is us, God's people. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Look at the intimacy of the Lord between the Lord and his people. So I will go through the first part and the last part with a very brief exposition and its application, so that we may be able to find some answers to this question. What is the promise and how does that apply to us? You know, we know that God can protect us always. Let me repeat that. God can protect us always, number one. Number two, He has protected us many times. Think about your life. You may be 20, 15. Asha turned 16 yesterday. Some of us may be 65, 68, 70. Plano Appachan in his mid-90s. God can protect us always, number one. Number two, God has protected all of us many, many times from different types of dangers and also death. And in the COVID world, in this present crisis, we trust He will protect us. Three things. As the confession of our faith, God can protect us always because He has promised, especially in this psalm, that is the message, that He will. He has protected us many, many, many times, and we praise Him and thank Him for that. And for the unknown, we trust He will protect us. So we trust in Him in confidence, and we don't doubt His goodness or His power. Now, but look at how this psalm begins. The psalm begins by calling our attention to who God is. So that is the first thing that encouraged me. And that is the first thing I want to share with you. The psalm begins by revealing to us, telling us who our God is. So we should not be looking at the problems or our anxieties or should not be focusing too much on the pandemic, even though it is a legitimate concern, but we should be thinking more of our God and His sovereignty. That is why in the first two verses, God reveals Himself in four different titles or names. That is how the psalm begins. The psalm begins not by saying simply about God's protection. The psalm begins by saying some wonderful truths about God Himself, the nature of God, the attributes of God. And that is something very important for us to consider. So, who is our God? That should be the most important meditation, understanding, knowledge in our life. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "For I know whom I have believed." And by the way, those verses are the one of the last verses of Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy is the last letter Apostle Paul wrote, maybe in AD 66 or 67, just before his death, when he was in Roman prison. So what is one of the final statements? He was a great theologian. He was a great scholar. He was a great apostle. He was a great evangelist. He was a great writer. The greatest Christian who ever lived. Nobody could surpass him in knowledge in relation to theology. But you know what he wrote at the very end, brothers and sisters? He did not say, "I know what I believe," or "how I know how to defend my faith." No, he knew all those things. He ably did that all through his life. But the foundational truth on which he focuses is, "For I know whom I have believed." Book of Job, the first book in the Bible, a book of suffering and trials. And what did Job say in chapter 19, verse 25? You can read that later. "For I know my Redeemer liveth, and on the last day he will stand upon the earth. And when my flesh is destroyed, I will see him." It's all about God. Those of us who have studied theology, we would say theology proper. It is all about God. Now, I get a little emotional when I say this, because I just completed my book, Our Awesome God. And these are some of the thoughts that strengthened me very much. You know, who God is, and that knowledge, that understanding, that appreciation about His love, about His grace, about His power, about His authority, about His sovereignty, about His tender compassion, about His fatherliness, about His majesty, and our commitment to His lordship. That is what that would sustain us. So this wonderful psalm of protection begins by introducing God. It's not about protection in the beginning. It is about God. So look at the four titles of God. Verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." El Elyon. God is Most High. That means there is nobody over Him, above Him. It talks about His sovereignty, authority, power, and lordship over everyone and everything in the universe. Tony Evans, when he preaches, you might have heard, when he comes to exciting things like this, he would say, "Woo!" You know, I like that, you know, whenever I listen to him. That means he's calling people's attention. Woo! Wow! What is this? You know? That is El Elyon. We find this word used in Genesis 14, 18. He who dwells in the secret place of, who is this God? Everybody in America talks about God. In the world, everybody is now talking about faith and God. But dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about God, we are talking about El Elyon, the most high, majestic, sovereign, authority, power, everything belongs to him. There is no higher power and authority than his. And then look at the next line, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai, Almighty, overpowering one, Almighty one. The origin of the word El Shaddai, when he has an Akkadian or Sumerian root, which literally means one who stands on a mountain. We might have seen, you know, like some giants standing on a big mountain, conquering everything. That is the image this name brings. The Hebrew title El Shaddai. We are under the shadow of El Shaddai. That is the second revelation about God. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, uppercase, L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, Yahweh, covenant keeping, covenant making God, the eternal God, the one who is eternally present in the past, present, and in the future, the eternal I am, one who is in a covenant relationship with the children, his children. This word is used 6,828 times in the Bible, the most sacred name of God, his covenantal name, name of his relationship, Jehovah God. Then I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim, God in him I will trust. So the fourth one is the name, title, Elohim, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. That is the omnipotent, majestic, creator God. So who is our protector? Who is our deliverer? Who is our savior? When I use the word God, when you use the word God, it is different from many other religious people's usage of this word. So where are we dwelling? He who dwells in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of Jehovah, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim. In him I will trust. That is the foundation. And it is from this foundation that the psalmist makes this confession of faith. It is not a magical chant. Aha, that is the most important thing. Psalm 91 is not a magical chant about God's protection. It is a foundational confession about who God is and that we are in a relationship with this God And this God is able to save us from any danger, every danger, any time, all the time, if that is his will. For I know whom I have believed. In the midst of all suffering, finally, that is what Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Do we know this God? Intimately, every day, how do we know him? We know him through his word. That is why we need to study, read, meditate his word more and more so that we can get acquainted with the author. You know, some people, and I had a friend who always used to debate with me that there is no God. You know, because he would say, he knew Bible a little bit, so he would say, the Bible does not say God exists. There is no statement like that in the Bible. So I used to tell him, a author does not have to prove his existence through the book. The book itself is the proof that the author exists. So how do we know about the author? You have to read. You have to read it carefully, meditate it, study it, and through prayer, walking with him, learning from others and their experiences, from their journey with this God. That is the noblest pursuit of life. J.I. Packer wrote that great book many years ago, and it is one, still one of the classics, Knowing God. So I would invite you to turn with me to one verse, Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11, 32. This verse had an application to Daniel's time and the difficult times in the history of Israel. I don't want to get into that now. And also this will be very true of the tribulation time, coming tribulation after the rapture. The most difficult time in human history. What does that say in verse 32? The middle part. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, I would encourage you to read that in all the translations. That will bless you. The people who know their God shall be strong and do heroic deeds, will do valiantly, will do great things, will do great exploits. In the COVID world, people who know their God in their life, in their profession, in the place of their work, in their responsibilities, in relation to their children, grandchildren, in relation to their ministry, in relation to their business. People who know their God in the COVID world will do exploits, heroic deeds. Are you ready for that? That is God's assignment for you. Not to cry and to sit at home and lockdown and cursing the lockdown. You know? No, the Lord wants us to do heroic deeds through our life because of who our God is. Now, let me bring your attention to the last verses of this psalm. The last verses, we already read those verses. And we now looked at the first two verses and the titles that are used for God. Just one more thing. He who dwells, it is in the present tense, that is, not one who imagines that he is dwelling. I hope you are not imagining that you are dwelling under the shadow of the wings of this God. Are you? Do you really know this God? Is there anyone listening to me who pretend that you are dwelling in the Lord, or you have trusted in the Lord, that you have accepted this Lord as your Savior? No, this is talking about one who permanently, habitually dwells in the secret place of the Most High. One who goes there always for protection. No, one, not one who thinks that he is dwelling. Not one who thinks that, one who pretends that. No, one who dwells. It's a habitual experience for him. He will enjoy this mighty protection. Now, the last verses, beginning in verse 14, look at the intimacy of this description. Now, Psalm 90, the previous psalm is written by Moses, and Brother George Samuel also reminded us there is every possibility that Psalm 91 also is written by Moses. One difference between these two psalms, Psalm 90 is a community psalm because it always talks about us and we and ours. But Psalm 90 is more personal. Psalm 91 is more personal. It tells, I will say of the Lord, my God, he will deliver you. He will set his love upon you, upon me. Look at the personal element, you know. So we, as a community, family of faith, we are together in the Lord. But sometimes we also need to know, in the various challenges we personally face, there is a personal element also added in Psalm 91. We are together in this, but we are also personally. That is why Psalm 91, it is the personal singular pronoun always. I, you, and he. And that gave me great encouragement, you know, that observation. The community of faith and the individual of faith. So verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. So who is this person who is delivered by the Lord? He dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He knows his life is founded upon this El Elyon, El Shaddai, on Jehovah and on Elohim. Then verse 14, we love him. Therefore, I will deliver him. He's my child. He loves me. He looks to me. When he has a problem, he cries to me. Therefore, I will deliver him. Do we love him? Is that where we first look? You know, all the plagues in the Bible was God's judgment. Do you know that? It may not be politically correct for me to say that in this situation, but you study the Bible and look at all the plagues. All the plagues mentioned in the Bible were direct judgment of God upon an unbelieving world and also upon his own people, nation Israel. Is this plague different? I don't think so. Because the Bible does not allow me to take that position. Anytime we find plagues in the Bible, there are natural causes and reasons, you know. I do not know. I'm not saying the Lord is judging this man or that man or this nation. But generally speaking, God locks down, God judges, God proves that he is sovereign, and he is calling our attention to him. Love him, turn to him, return to him in repentance, in worship. That is what we should be praying for the world, praying for each one of us, that we may love him more, we may know him more. He is El Shaddai standing on the mountain. Everybody is kind of panicking. The only one standing up and high, lifted up and exalted, is our God. He is calling the attention of the world to him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Look at that number two. The first one, we love him. Number two, he has known my name. End of verse 14. And what is that name? Verse 1 and 2. Most High, Almighty, Lord, and Elohim, God. See, the psalm begins with the name of God, ends by calling the attention to the name of God. Theology proper. The foundation is who our God is. For I know whom I have believed. Knowing this God, worshiping this God, knowing his attributes, power, committing our everything, every cares, anxieties, and worries to him. Number 3, verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. So, one who loves, one who knows my name, one who depends on me constantly, that is the meaning of calling upon me, depending upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. God may take us out of the trouble, or if we are going through trouble, he will be with us in trouble, or he can also keep us out of trouble. So he can keep us from trouble or out of trouble. He will be with us also in trouble. What a promise. And I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Because he honored me, I will honor him in such situation. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What is that long life? You know, one who is devoted to God, one who is submissive to him, one who sets his love upon this God, one who knows his name, one who totally depends upon him and call him always. I will give him the full length of his life as God has ordained it. Because we have to read and understand it in the light of the whole counsel of God. God is sovereign. So he decides and determines our days. So with long life, as God has ordained it, he will satisfy. Anyway, our life is going to be long, 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 long. Because after this life, we are going to be with him in heaven in eternity. That is long life. So long life, brothers and sisters, is not simply the long life here. If the life here may be long or short, but it's anyway, it's going to be long. Long, 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 long life. And with that long life in his presence, beholding his glory, he will satisfy and show him his salvation. Finally, what is my answer to the struggle I had? I hope you will like it and it will be a blessing to you. I want to phrase it with this statement. In the light of this psalm and in the light of the whole counsel of God, I want to add a phrase that except, E-X-C-E-P-T, except that God in his love and wisdom allows something to happen to me for my own good and for his glory, nothing will happen to me. Except that God in his love. So read this with that phrase. I'm not asking you to add it to it, but that is the idea, you know. Don't add anything to the word of God. Except that God in his love and wisdom allow something, this pestilence, sickness, death or whatever, to happen to me for my own good and for his own glory, nothing will happen to me, and he will deliver me from all these dangers and pestilence. He's able and he will. Number two, except that God in his sovereign will, plan and purpose allow death to come near me. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 may fall at my right side, but it will not come near me. Except that he allows it in his sovereign will. One more except statement. Except that in his sovereign will, he allows anything to come near me for my good or for his glory. No evil, no plague, no serpent, no arrows by day or by night will touch me. So this is a majestic psalm, not only about God's protection, but about his sovereign care and love for his people. Dear brothers and sisters, our God is sovereign. El Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah and Elohim. Except that in his love and wisdom, he allows some harm to touch you, nothing. Wherever you are, whatever be your circumstances, you may be working in the front lines. Whatever be the circumstances, except that he allows it for our own good and for his own glory, nothing will touch us in any way. So, verses 5 to 13, think about all the description of the dangers, the extent of the danger. None of those things will touch us except he allows it. He gives permission. That is the promise. That is the answer the Lord gave to me in my struggle to understand what is the protection. The protection is everything that is promised here, except he allows. Nothing will happen to us. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the majesty and the authority and the power and the glory of your word. It is a reflection of your own glory because it is your word. And we thank you for giving it to us abundantly and helping us to apply that in our day-to-day life this morning. Thank you that even though we are in different places, in different homes, with all the difficulties and the limitations and little bit of sorrow in our hearts, that we are able to gather around our Lord and his table and also around his word to study it and to encourage it and to comfort one another And we pray that what we have shared this morning from your holy word may equip and empower and console each one of us in our struggle. We thank you that this great God is our God. For I know whom I have believed. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And those who know this God, they will do great exploits. Prepare each one of us, our ELBC family, for great and wonderful exploits during these days as we commit ourselves to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Praise God.